Okay, barefoot on holy ground. Got to take my shoes off if I'm going to do this. Perpetual pajama days are wonderful because I'm barefoot all day long. Whether I'm curled up reading or watching an episode of House Hunters International. Oh, so this month, the book that I'm focused on is one I did in a series, and it turned out it was back in 2004. Isn't that amazing how long we've been together? 2004. And it's on a book called Barefoot on Holy Ground by Gloria Karpinski. Wonderful book. I know a couple of you said you've already looked for it and are ordering it. It's a great book. And it's about consciously being present in the world and recognizing that everything you're going through is divine and holy. It is embodied spirituality. It's like a little workbook as to how you can do that. She includes meditations and journaling and exercises as part of it. We don't have time to go through all of that, but it's a wonderful reminder of what we in Unity have always believed, that we are eternal spiritual beings having an earthly experience for a divine reason. That lies at the very core of this. Week before last, before we took off on our adventure, I did the first section of her book that's Knowing the Way. Today we're going to do Becoming the Way. So Knowing the Way is a quick review, is knowledge, it is mind and thought and imagination that helps you process and decide what you want to do and what's calling you. The second is revelation. In the twinkling of an eye, aha, you can have an aha moment, and intuition shines through. And this is where you're settling into the wisdom of the heart and where you are praying. In that prayer, whether it's in silence or with words or walking in nature with your body. The third is discernment. It's recognizing and seeing more clearly what is real versus the illusion of the outer world. It's seeing the presence of the divine in everything and making the choice to always look for it, which is your soul work. And it's to discover, and another word for that is to divine, to find it, to divine, to see that divine presence. And then finally, the body, embodied presence as the temple of our being, as the archive of all of our experiences that we hold in our body, and as the lab that we get to move through the world and have experiences in. One of the things I've always laughed about is whatever I'm studying spiritually, I always get the laboratory section to go with it, where I get opportunities to live that and to do it. So our lives are labs where we get to learn things and discover things and then play with them. I started to say work with them. That's the old paradigm. The new paradigm is play with them. Enjoy. Enjoy. And so that's knowing the way with our minds, with our hearts, with our souls, and with our bodies. And so with that inner knowing, we now get to step into becoming the way. And love is the master key of the heart. Will is the divine birthright of the mind. Faith is the cornerstone of the soul's cathedral. And power is the focus of flow that's embodiment. So we're going to do body, mind, heart, and soul again as to how do we live this. I'd like to open with a wonderful passage that I have loved for years that comes from Marianne Williamson in her book, A Return to Love. When we were born, we were programmed perfectly. We had a natural tendency to focus on love. We were connected to a world much richer than the one we connect to now, a world full of enchantment and a sense of the miraculous. Love is what we were born with. Fear is what we've learned here. The spiritual journey is the relinquishment or unlearning of fear and the acceptance of love back into our hearts. Love is the essential existential fact. It is our ultimate reality and our purpose on earth. To be consciously aware of it, to experience love in ourselves and in others, is the meaning of life. Love is the intuitive knowledge of our hearts. It's a world beyond that we secretly yearn for. An ancient memory of this love haunts us all the time, and it beckons us to return. So to walk and become the way is to consciously return to spiritual essence. All you have to do is look at the eyes of a newborn baby and you see such light and love and connection to spirit. Many of you know I did pediatric ICU for a while, and no matter how tiny or how fragile, you looked in the eyes and there was this incredible soul there present with you. So it begins, number one, becoming the way starts with love, the master key. It's the heart. In Sanskrit, there are over 90 words for love. We use love from I love chocolate to I love God to I love you. We've got all different layers that we use that one word for. In Sanskrit, there were 90. In Persian, there were over 80. In Hebrew, there's a huge number of words for love. But by the time we get to the Greeks, they narrow it down to 3. Eros, which is passion. Philos, which is friendship. And agape, which is unconditional love. Those were the ones they really focused on. And so we tend to use that word for so many things. One of my favorite things that I discovered when I read her book is the Inuit people have many words for love. And one of them is this: I love you, but I won't go seal hunting with you. I love you, but I won't go seal hunting with you. Doesn't that sound like something you'd use?
Do you know what word, what the actual word?
No. I don't speak Inuit. So, this whole concept of love, and when you look at Scripture and at the Master Jesus, he says, if you love, you've got everything covered. Love is the greatest commandment. He says, love with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, which is your body. In other words, love with every aspect of your being and love your neighbor and yourself. Nothing is left out of that equation. All aspects of being and how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about others. Perfect love casts out all fear is a beautiful passage of Scripture, because fear closes down and constricts us. Love opens us. Charles Fillmore says, the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family is love. Love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it. Love is the great harmonizer and healer. So to do love, to be in service in love, is to walk the path of the Christ, or the path in the East that's called the path of the Bodhisattvas. A Bodhisattva is one who has achieved enlightenment but chooses to stay in this earthly plane in compassion until all of us have that enlightenment, holding us near and dear to heart. Gloria Karpinski in her book says this: seek love above all. when words and theories fail, when the violent upheaval of change horrifies you, and even your favorite dreams are passing, close your eyes and breathe and ask, how do I bring love into this? Isn't that a wonderful question? How do I bring love into this? The next part of becoming the way involves your mind. Will, the divine birthright. In her book, she says, the will is the sacred I am behind all the roles we play. Isn't that wonderful? When Moses had the experience at the burning bush, I am that I am. And that I am is something that Jesus used over. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine and you are the branches. I am, particularly, is found in the Gospel of John. That's the most mystical of all four of the Gospels. It's also found in the words of Krishna. It's found in the Old Testament. It's found in the Egyptian Book of the Dead and in the Upanishads. The power of I am. Because when you say I am, whatever follows that, you are empowering. A lot of us get a lot of negative talk going in our heads. I know I do that. And so when that happens, if you can consciously be aware that with those very words you're empowering something, and is that what you really choose and want to empower? That highest will is your divine self. It's the inner light in everyone. It's abundant, open to all opportunities, even painful ones and failure. It's non-resistant. It frees us to learn and to grow. It accepts. It's not passive, but it brings power to the moment because it accepts and therefore can align its will with highest and best. It's an energy that is ever free to choose something new. Focusing the will brings manifestation, and patience brings full fruition. So many times when we pray, we say a prayer, and then we go on to the next thing, and we forget about that one, and the answer comes, and we don't even notice it, because we've gone somewhere else. So if you can focus and then watch for the unfoldings, it will help you grow in your co-creative path with the divine. And with divine birthright will, I remember when I first heard that, when I got to New Thought, I was like, oh my gosh, it's all me? It was like, I kind of like the old days when, like the guy on Laugh-In, you had an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, and you blame it on the angel and the devil. And then you get to where, oh, I'm responsible. I make choices. It's my will as to how I co-create. And at first, I was like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of responsibility. That's really scary. But it's meant to be done with grace and with love. Where when you do things, you recognize what's happened and you get to grow and shift. So next time that same experience comes, you can respond differently because you've grown. In the most famous of all prayers from the New Testament, the Lord's Prayer, my will, not my will, but thy will be done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. It is the power of your divine spark, your Christ consciousness, which is why Jesus said, let there be light, in the Old Testament that he reminded us of. And then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says, you are the light of the world. It's all part of one great whole. And so your light is essential. And so the key theological question that she says that we all ask ourselves and is the perfect one about divine birthright is to ask yourself this: why am I in this particular incarnation? Why am I here now? Why am I here now? Become more conscious of your calling, what you've received, and it's now time for you to give. Where's your growth edge? We all constantly have growth edges, or we wouldn't be in this incarnation anymore. It's all about growing and learning and experiencing. So why am I here now? The answer is always there. It doesn't lie out there. It lies in here. If it comes with a "you ought to do that," it's an out there. If it comes with a "you get to do that," it's from in here. So now we go to faith, the cornerstone of your holy ground and your sacred space. And faith is where you divine. You look for a higher understanding of what you're experiencing. It's easy to do that in the past. You can look back at something that happened that at the time you just thought was awful, and you can now go, if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be here. That set me on a whole new path, brought me to new possibilities, new people that I never would have met if I hadn't gone through that. And if I'd met them, I wouldn't have appreciated them as much, because I've grown in my understanding of life and of love. And it comes through all of us. Faith in the scriptures from Hebrews 11 is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I've always loved that passage. The assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. It's trusting spirit. It's trusting the invisible presence of the divine to be made manifest in physical, visible form for you. Fillmore said, "The perceiving power of the mind is linked with the power to shape substance, and that is faith." It's your creative ability linked with the power of thought, and then empowered and impelled forward by prayer and by love. It says it's like forging faith is like the creation of a diamond. It takes place deep inside and under a lot of pressure. That's what creates a diamond. A pearl is created when that sand gets so irritating that a pearl is made from that. It is finding that, and it's done within the clamshell. It's not done out. It's done. This is inner work. It's the importance with faith is to build on rock and not shifting sand. It's knowing that the presence is with you always, and faith can be fully, authentically, intentionally, truthfully here. Fully, authentically, intentionally, truthfully here. Fully present is faith. Remember a number of years ago, my first ministry that I did, I called Sacred Moments, and I had an alternative ministry because I swore I was never going to do church. I know Spirit was giggling in the background as I said that. And I did Sacred Moments. And I was typing on my laptop one day, and I got two of the letters backwards. You turn two letters, and sacred becomes scared. You just flip those two letters. And I went, that is so true. I can be in terror, but when I can connect in faith, even if it's something that is an assurance of something hoped for, a conviction of something I can't see in that moment, it goes from scared to sacred. Just a tiny shift can make all the difference. The question for you for faith, which is your soul work, comes from one of my role models, Eleanor Roosevelt. She said, "What would you do if you could not fail?" Isn't that wonderful? Faith is what lets us step out and do things that we didn't know we could even do. It invites us to experience life in richer and fuller forms. What would you do if you knew you could not fail? There's a wonderful song that has those words in it. And so the fourth one we've got, heart, mind, and soul. What's left? Body. The embodiment. How do we actually live becoming the way in our body? I was blessed to hear Barbara Marx Hubbard speak several times when I was in ministerial school. And I was really moved the first time I heard her speak, and I just stopped. It was like everything stopped. And I wrote it down, and it's something I've worked with regularly ever since. She said, we are a point in our evolution, humanity, where we are going from Homo sapiens to Homo universalis. We're going from being just attached to our bodies to realizing that our bodies, our hearts, our minds, and our soul are part of something much greater. There's an interconnection, a weaving. We all come from the web of life and light, and every aspect of it is part of that, including our bodies. And that as we become Homo universalis, we can see from that soul point so much better. And we realize that this is a vessel we've been blessed with to move through this realm and to behold other souls who are all distinctively different, but to do it with a sense that we are all interconnected and also part of our wholeness. Unity celebrates diversity, and it equally celebrates oneness. They're not mutually exclusive, it's an and. Deepak Chopra says, the reality is that your physical body is not frozen anatomical structure, but literally a river of intelligence and information and energy that is constantly renewing itself every second of your existence. I heard him speak in Dallas, 30 years ago, and I was amazed when he said, in the course of 7 years, you change every single cell in your body. We think of ourselves as stagnant or just as aging. It's energy that is shifting all the time. Dolores Ashcraft Nowicki from the Brotherhood of the White Light, who I absolutely met and adore, said that life and bodies are proto-sentient matter. They're essential, they're physical, but they're also moving matter all the time. Quantum physicists have now discovered that. Charles Fillmore, the order of creation is from the formless to the formed, from the invisible to the visible. The human in his forming brings things into manifestation and uses the same creative process in mind that God uses. First his mind, and then the idea in mind, and then the materialization of that idea. Humanity is the power of God in action, each one of us. So it's that sacred divinity that we talk about and honor and celebrate here in Unity that's so different than classic theology that begins with the premise, you're a sinner. We begin with the premise that you are a blessing. Original blessing, as Matthew Fox called it, rather than original sin. As you all know, I've been blessed to go to Iona a number of times, and they say that Iona is an invisible school for the curriculum of the soul. Life itself is an invisible school for the curriculum of the soul. And there are four key things in Celtic Christianity and Celtic spirituality that help us do this, focus on the flow and the energy of life. Number one, be consecrators of space. Bless where you are and who you are. Be a lover of life. Accept life on life's terms, and remember to ask that question, how do I bring love into this? Be witnesses of creation. Notice. Don't stumble unconsciously through your life. Notice what's happening. And finally, be a summoner of soul. See that beauty of spirit behind the whole manifest world and everything in it. Saint Teresa of Avila has a wonderful passage about the body and the power of the body and the importance of embodied spirituality. She says, Christ has no body on earth now but yours. No hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he has to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he can bless others now. And so from Saint Teresa's passage, the question, how are you blessing yourself and others as they are embodied and as they are now? So we've gone through the four levels of being. We know the way. And now this week, let us focus on becoming the way. Embrace love and heart energy, and remember to ask the question, how do I bring love into this? Honor your mind, your thought process, but do it from a higher sense of why you're here. Why am I here now? Maybe it's to simply let somebody go in front of you at the checkout at the grocery store. Maybe it's to hold someone who is grieving. Whatever it is, why am I here now? Connect to the purpose of your life. With faith, you connect with soul, and that soul invites you to be the unique spark of light that no one else can be except you. With what would you do if you knew you could not fail? Don't worry about success or failure. What would you do just out of joy and creation? And then finally, your embodied self, ask it, how are you blessing this day? Recognize that your body blesses you with a temple, a chalice to move through the world. Bless it and bless others. Be the eyes and the hands and the feet, the very body of the Christ light, the presence of the divine in our world. We remember that love is the intuitive knowledge of our hearts, the world beyond that we secretly long for. An ancient memory of this love haunts us all the time, and it beckons us to return. And when we remember to stand barefoot on holy ground and become the way, that returns. And heaven and earth become truly one in this moment in a way that we see and feel and know and are in gratitude for. Let us pray. Oh, sweet, sweet spirit, we live and move and have our being in the divine. Let us remember that our heart, our mind, our soul, and our body are all part of divine creation. and that we are here as eternal spiritual beings to move through this world for a divine reason. Let us remember that reason. Let us bring love into everything. Let us not be limited by fear. Let us recognize why each and every one of us has been sent, and then willingly share those blessings. For this time together, we are so profoundly grateful, and we seal this prayer with Om Amen and Blessed Be.